Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
It's such an exciting subject to talk about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the clothing with power. God was not going to leave us powerless when He told us to go and do things that all of us will find impossible to do. The Christian life is not hard, it's impossible. And you need power from another world to actually do what God has called you to do, to overcome the things that you find that are bugging you and not working for you. So in Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." Really important point here. You got to know that you can't work it out. You can't work God out. He's a wind. It's like church life, I work out as much as I possibly can, but then there is an enormous X factor, and you can't figure it out at all. Things happen that are way beyond any human engineering, way beyond any human understanding, and in your own life, you'll find there are things like that, both negative and positive. But when God comes into your world, Jesus said, a person who's born again is like the wind. You don't know where they're coming from or where they're going. And it's unpredictable. It's unsearchable. God is unfathomable. You cannot work Him out. You can't reduce God to a formula. And when we do, we invite on ourselves a horrific kind of Christian life. The worst kind. So when people start to say, now you got to do it like this, like this, like this, like this. If you don't do these five things, your prayers won't get answered. If you don't do this, these three things, you know, that you'll never be confident. If you don't do this and this and this, it's impossible to reduce God to a formula. He's very windy. The way He does things one day, maybe not the way you think He wants you to go up into Asia. Paul thought he wanted him to go preach the gospel in Asia. No, don't go there now. Go here now. Now go back to Asia. It's like, God knows what He's doing. He's just looking for people who can do it with Him. So here, Jesus is saying, don't run ahead of Me. Don't go out with no power. Sadly, the church has jumped out into all kinds of projects that God has told them to do without waiting for the power. So here, He said, look, I want you to go and change the world, but wait. Before you go, hang around in Jerusalem until you get empowered from on high. Now, He didn't say stay for 10 days. He just said stick around until. It could have been 10 years. It could have been 10 minutes. They didn't know. But they were prepared to wait until a defining moment happened in their lives that they knew they now had the power on them. How would they know they had the power? Because of the results. They would see the results. They went to a prayer meeting for 10 days, and at the end of that prayer meeting, a power came on them on the day of Pentecost and turned fishermen and carpenters and bookkeepers into world changers and planet shakers. You can't get any more powerful than that. When the Holy Spirit comes into ordinary people, they suddenly become extraordinary. Every one of us in this room ache for something extraordinary in our lives to leave our mark on the planet. And somehow we can get that in our lives when we actually allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us. That happens when we get hungry for God. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit on the same day I was born again. And it was the same day I got set free. It all happened within about 30 minutes in August 1971, last century, long time ago. I know you think I don't look that old, but that's okay. I'm not. And Chris and I, we were messing around with kind of Ouija board stuff, you know, like we're hippies, we're unsaved, 19-year-old students, never really been to church much, hardly. I'd been, that I could remember, twice in my whole life. So I didn't know that God and the Bible went together. I was completely uneducated about everything to do with Jesus and God. I didn't even know that God and Jesus were relatives. And we were playing around with this Ouija board, and suddenly there are all these evil things in the house. We could feel them, evil presences. In fact, One of them was so strong that my friend Wayne left the house, went up to Auckland because we were in Christchurch, and he got a job up there. He said, I can't stay in this house anymore. We rang up a friend who was a spiritualist, and she said, oh, go down to my spiritualist outfit and they'll fix you up. You'll stand around passing roses and touching fingers and saying chants and things, and that'll do it. Because I said, how do I fix these evil things? But her mother had been born again just 2 weeks before that. And she, when her daughter put down the phone, she said, what was that about? She said, explain. She said, don't send him there. Send him here. It was a little church in a little suburb, about 40 people, all of them were very old. When we walked in, I'd never seen so many really old people in one place. Their youth leader was 120 years old. And apparently Smith Wigglesworth had something to do with the beginning of that church. And obviously the converts were still there and all wearing their three-piece suits from the war. I'm not talking First or Second World War. I'm talking Boer War, way back. They were really, really, you know, kind of ancient. And so we sat down and May, the woman who brought Chris and I in, at that stage I had long hair, quite a long way down, and you know, we both wore black coats and bare feet and long hair. Back on, we pretty much looked identical. But I had a beard, when we turned around, you could tell there was a difference. Chris didn't have a beard. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So that was awesome. We both were in church that night and sat in front, and May was behind us. And when he said, put your hand up, she tapped us on the shoulder. She said, you put your hand up now. I said, okay. And because I'd never seen preaching like it, I could feel God in the place. I didn't know what God felt like, but I said to Chris, I said, good vibrations in here, baby. And because we're hippies, we talk like that. Like, you didn't quite talk like that. You went, good vibrations in here. And then we got our hands up, and then he said, go forward. And she said, you go forward now. Oh, it's like one of those masses, you know, where everybody comes out and you get a thing on your tongue and it's going to be awesome. And so we go out and we're the only ones out there. And I think we were, and might have been one or two others. But and so I asked Jesus into my life, and he led us in that prayer. And then the pastor's wife, who was really into deliverance, she came up and said, you the boy who's been fiddling around with the devil? And I said, come here. And so we went out the back. Now, they'd never seen hippies before. You know, it was like a whole new zone. And we went out the back, and the pastor came up and sat down on a chair. And he was about the youngest member in the whole congregation. All the elders came out. Now, these guys were 300 years old. They were very old. White skin, blue veins. I don't think they'd ever seen the sun since the war. And so that, you know, that, and they're beautiful old people, but, you know, and they all came out and they're all standing around like elders stand. And so the pastor said, look, we're going to pray for you right now. And I said, good, great, that's nice. And so I bowed my head, you know, went like this. This is what I thought you did when you pray. And we're all going to do this. But that didn't happen. I closed my eyes. There were all these hands on my head, bang, 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 bang. And then they started yelling, come out of him in Jesus' name. You know, loose him. I thought, whoa, what's going on? But then, to my surprise, this black feeling on the inside of me went up on the inside, went bang, and it was gone. And I was crying. I didn't know why I was crying, and I wasn't given to crying, but I was crying, oh, thank you, Jesus. I didn't know who he was, but I thought he had something to do with it. So I was saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. My brain wasn't really too engaged right then. And after a little while, I found my mouth wouldn't work properly. I was going, thank you. Thank you. I was trying to say thank you, Jesus, but it wouldn't come out. And then I heard them speaking in this other language. And it was like, go ahead. And so I just thought, oh, I'll do it. And I went, Nahu Mahu. And sounded like Maori, I thought. And then I was speaking. It was like speaking in this heavenly language. Just straight away. I didn't know what it was. And they were all dancing around doing some Irish jig, you know, or Jewish dance. We got one. And so that all happened to me like bang, bang, bang. But For most people, it doesn't happen like that, I've learned. I wish it did. I thought it would happen like that for everybody. So a revival broke out. I was working on the rubbish carts at that time, trying to be an artist in the afternoon. But we were a little high by the afternoon time arrived, and not a lot of art got done. And so we ended up playing Chinese checkers, I think it was, something. And so in the mornings, I'd get up at like 4 o'clock and do the rubbish thing. But then in the Bible, I read, touch not the unclean thing. So I knew I had to leave the rubbish carts. And Chris and I found a big house where we could look after people and try and help them. And just before that, my friend who'd gone up to Auckland, he'd written me a letter asking me for some marijuana. And this is like 40 years ago. Okay, folks, remember that. And it wasn't last week. Okay, and so... he wrote a letter and said, can you give me some? And I'd been born again, but my mouth hadn't been at that stage. So I wrote a letter back. I said, no, I can't get you any blinkety-blink marijuana, but I've found the blinkety-blink truth. If you want to blinkety-blink, get down here, and I'll get it blinkety-blink happening for you, you know. He got that letter, and when he read the letter, on the factory floor, the power of God hit him, and he went bang, fell on the floor. So I thought, flip, I better get down there real quick. And so I've always wondered about that, God using a letter that was like that, you know. Anyway, it must have been something on it. And he got down there. We didn't even let him get out of the taxi. We said, stay in the taxi, we'll go around and see the pastor. So we drove around and see the pastor. I said, here's my friend Wayne. He had ginger hair like this. It was just huge. And I said, do it to him. Do this thing to him. And yeah. So we would just do that. We would do everything like that. Cast out the devil, you know, pray for the Holy Spirit. And they would all get, you know, receive Jesus. And that was how we did it for like about 1,200 people over the next 9 months or so, while we had this big house or all kinds of people coming in, and a revival, a move of the Holy Spirit started to touch lives. Now, honestly, at that time, you need to know that I didn't have to graduate from a college or anything to actually become a minister of the Spirit. When you have a look down at 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says, He has enabled us to be ministers of the new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're a minister. You're a minister not because of a certificate of graduation from our incredible Bible college, amen, and if you haven't been, you should go, but that's not going to be the ultimate qualifying factor. I know people who have graduated from schools of academia, schools of the Bible, and do not have any life to give, and yet people who are baptized in the Spirit who may not have everything lined up properly. I mean, when I was preaching to people, we were praying for people, and when I preached, I had Noah walking on the water. I was preaching out of the Book of Concordance. It was like John the Baptist was the founder of the Baptist congregations, and honestly, you're never going to have it all right. If you wait until the day you got it all together, we'll never get anything done. Because nobody, even the people who think they got it right, well, God bless you, but you haven't. And you cannot tie God up in some formula and saying, this is how you get to be whatever it is. You get to be what God wants you to be by being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the New Testament. In the New Testament, that's all they had. We got so many substitutes these days that we often lean on them too quickly. And that's why he says, before you go and do anything, wait, get the power. Get the Holy Spirit on your life, and you'll know when it's come because of the manifestation and the evidence of that. That is why that prayer meeting on November the 5th is so very important for the whole church to gather together, so that we're not just a church having church, but we're church having a move of God. And there is a big difference. I will never run a church that's just going to be a church. I want to see the wind of the Spirit and the move of God. and the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in people's lives all over this congregation. That's why we have that healing service coming up on the beginning of the month of November, so that we can release so many people who have that gift in their life and people who need it. And I've found that we just can't afford the time in services where people are feeling like, you know, they want time respected, and we understand that fully. And so we want to add that on, because it takes time for people to break through. It takes time for people to receive healing and for that healing gift to come into people's lives. And so to give it 45 minutes up in the prayer chapel at the end of a service, I think is going to actually release a whole lot of miracles into people's lives that we can't get any other way. Acts 2:17 says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That's a really powerful passage for any parents to take a hold of here today. No matter what condition, what situation your children are in, it says your sons and your daughters are going to have the Holy Spirit fall on them, and they will prophesy. And these are people who are within earshot of this promise, who are under the outpouring of the Spirit. The greatest thing you could do for your kids is to be filled with the Holy Spirit yourselves. The greatest legacy we can ever leave to a family is that the power of the Holy Spirit is poured out on our children, on our brothers and sisters, on our entire family. And suddenly they are prophesying, they are proclaiming, they are seeing things, they are entering into a supernatural world. There is such a hunger in this world for supernatural things. How many vampire movies can you make? How many movies can you make about witches and warlocks and flying brooms and Harrys and Potters and all the rest of it? How many? I mean, every second movie, even normal movies, have some poltergeist going around the kitchen. It's like there's an acceptance and an openness and a hunger to it. And meanwhile, the church is over just having dry old liturgy sometimes, and we think that that's going to reach a spiritual hungry world. No, there's got to be something of a presence that breaks hearts and opens spirits in the house of God. This is where the Holy Spirit is meant to act, and people should feel and experience God. Never underestimate experience. Never underestimate the power of feelings. We've sometimes dismissed them as though they are non-events, but they are the most powerful things in people's lives. People are motivated by feelings. People are motivated by what they experience in their whole life. And so when people experience God, my Lord, that is a life-changing thing. You know, since that day 42 years ago, when the Holy Spirit came to me, Jesus said, "I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire." That fire has burned every day of my life since that time. You can't put it out. I could do things like just walk away, I guess, and let discouragement and worldliness and the flesh take over, and it'll bury it. But as long as I'm just living my life for God, that fire stays alive. I have a passion that just will not go away. I was thinking about Mark Kelsey the other day. Him and Bernie have been walking with Chris and I all the time this church has been going. And Simon McIntyre and other people. And I think, why do these people keep going? It's such a battle some days. It's so discouraging. It's so like banging your head against a wall and all the things that can happen. I think, how do they keep on going? And I thought, it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's a fire that burns down on the inside of you. And the way to keep that alive is to keep turning up at church and let the pastor pour petrol on you. Amen. Boom, you go up again. You got to get yourself under the influence of it. Listen, the whole thing about, you know, once every 2 weeks or once a month, I'm nervous about people making that sort of lifestyle decision. I don't think they're going to make it. You need regular infillings of the Holy Spirit, regular updates. You get them on your phone all the time. There's a new update. Amen. A whole new operating system. iOS 9, 7, or whatever it is. If you're with one of those old iPhone things, you know, it's like, ooh, touching little idols. And Ooh, I should throw one in a blender and see what the reaction is. Here it is. You'd laugh until it was yours. Oh, man. Here's, you know, you got a whole new operating system. You're going to download it? Absolutely. There's a whole new operating system for the Christian life. Get the power before you try and live this thing. The upgrade is available. There's a motor under the bonnet in this Christian life. There's a power in here. I want you to find the key this morning and start her up. Get the motor going so that you just put your foot on the gas. You're not pushing this Christian life around. So much effort and hard work. It's meant to be smoothed out. And so it's not stressing. White knuckle Christianity. Oh, I'm going to make it. That's not how you do it. It's impossible. Let the infilling of the Holy Spirit come upon you. If you've got a little ego issue, humble yourself. You know, if you find the speaking in a heavenly language a little bit unusual, you know, just go there. Like I said, tonight you're going to do some pretty unusual things when Manly put that ball on the line. Why not in church with God? The most exciting goal kicker in the history of the world. Amen. Rising from the dead, baby. That's decent. I'm telling you, that's decent. Amen. Okay, so for me to have the power to live the way God wants me to, sometimes it's challenging. But I find if I will put myself in the place where the Holy Spirit is and ignore those things that drown out the power of God. So, you know, I could listen to the morning radio, morning news, all the stuff, but I choose to put worship music on in the house. And I might want to do that, but I just choose to get an atmosphere of worship going on around me because I know that that will help me worship. It'll put a hook in my head for the rest of the day, and that'll just roll around in there. Oh, you're welcome in this place. That's why we sing worship. One of the greatest services we are delivering to people is that you will go from this place with a hook in your head. That's not like Meatloaf and a Bat Out of Hell. It's like you having a song going around in your brain that is worshipful. And if you give voice to that, if you're bold enough, on your own in your car or in the shower or just with a pillow over it, you know, just giving. But you just start singing. You will find that that is how you fill this temple with the Holy Spirit. He fills a worshiping temple. As they worship, the temple was filled with glory. And to maintain the power of God, understand that when we use the word power, it's not like some lightning bolt. You know, that's great. Power up, it's true. But you will find that the power of the Holy Spirit is like a gentle, strong force that moves through you, enabling you to do the things that you've committed yourself to do. Rather than you just stumbling every time there's a temptation or giving up every time there's a failure, you're able to actually feel the power of God. Now, I find that if I've taken a beating on any issue, had a mistake, failed at something, I will simply go into the presence of God. Sometimes I'll get up in the middle of the night just to say, all I want to do is spend an hour with you, Lord. Sit in a chair or walk around. Or in the middle of the day, just close the door and spend time focusing back on Him. And instantly I can feel that oil hit me. And it's not a dramatic experience, it's just oil. God's oily, flowy, rivery, windy. It's not something that you can actually work out. But if you put yourself in the position where oil can come upon you, He will come to you. And if you seek Him, He will come to you. The Holy Spirit is here like Jesus was here. When Jesus was here, he was about this high, same height as me, as you. Fully accessible as another person, high God. That's what God has wanted to do. Become totally accessible to you and I. The Holy Spirit is exactly the same. If you were to meet Him right now, He'd be this high, a person. and say, hi, how are you? Several times in the early startings of this church, I had encounters with the Holy Spirit. And one of those was I was praying for people on an altar call. And as I walked down the steps, in the second row, there was a person there with his back to me, like that, looking after the people. But the people couldn't see him. They were standing there like this, looking straight through. And he was just walking in front of them. And I looked down and my spirit leapt on the inside of me. I thought, it's the Holy Spirit. He's working with me. And as he was doing that, he went like this. Just looked around like that. I saw him, he had hair going down here, eyes sort of sorrowful and joyful, all the same, kind of cheeky looking. And he went, hi. That was it. Boom, gone. I said, whoa, wait. Oh, I didn't. This is kind of scary. But he was just letting me know that he wasn't like a blob floating around church. He's a person. When Jesus said, I'm going away, but it's to your advantage that I go away, I'm going to send you the encourager. I'm going to send you a helper. It's the Holy Spirit. So the Father and Jesus are seated in heaven. The Holy Spirit has come to earth. He is here for the church, to empower the church, to fill the earth. And that power of the Holy Spirit is available to every single believer. He will provide you with full access backstage into the presence of God, where others feel they can't go. You will go all the way in. He will bring favor on your life. The Holy Spirit is the seal of God on you, and to the whole spiritual world and supernatural universe, it spells favor. Not of your own making, but because of God coming on your life and you being baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you stay in the world of living in the Spirit, worshiping, speaking in your heavenly language, you'll stay empowered to live above all the things your flesh wants you to do. All it is a decision, a commitment to live in the Spirit. It's not a set of rules in the New Testament. It's the life of the Spirit. That's the entire difference about the Old and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was a set of rules. 10 big ones, about 300 other ones. There are multitudes of them. Coming to the New Testament, Jesus said, doing away with all that, we're going to put the Holy Spirit inside of you. Read this in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. And I will give you a new heart. This is talking about the New Testament. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. I'll take out your heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Next one. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. When the Holy Spirit is in you, you will find that he kind of causes you to walk the way that you're meant to. There's a power inside you guiding your steps, guiding your language, guiding your thoughts, guiding your attitudes. And that is the power of the New Testament, so that the Christian life is not something you have to do alone. Jesus said, I won't leave you like orphans. I won't leave you on your own to do this. You're going to have a power from heaven that will absolutely transform your lives from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, walk in the Spirit. Galatians, that same passage says, live in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, sing in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, speak in the Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, pray in the Spirit. Philippians 3:3 says, worship in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the Spirit. Colossians 1:8, love in the Spirit. So when you realize that all those things are talking about what is possible when you start to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, this thing you can't work out, this thing that's intangible, this thing that's invisible, this person who wants a relationship with me, who wants to put fresh oil on my life, who wants to put fresh power on my life, he's available for everyone in this room. In a couple moments, we're all going to stand up. I'm going to invite you to come. if you want a fresh touch, or if you've never actually received that experience of the empowerment from on high of the Holy Spirit, I would love you to be able to come, feel that you can come down here today, and we'll pray for you, and the Spirit of God will fall on you. I'd like everybody to stay in here for these next 10 minutes. I'm finishing preaching now. I've got a few more notes there. I'm going to finish right now so that we've got time for this and we can do it together. Let's all stand. And those of you who are saying, yeah, that's what I would like, could you come right now? And we're going to pray for you, for the power of God to touch you and the Holy Spirit to move on your world. That fresh empowering is something that many of us find ourselves in need of, simply because we've grown weary, grown a little discouraged. And we're going to have the guys play that song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome in This Place, in Jesus' name. Can we all start to pray right across this auditorium? Stir up your inner man. Stir up your spirit and just begin to pray. I know you've been sitting for a while. It's a great idea to simply stand up on the inside as well and say, you know what? I'm going to touch God here today. I'm going to reach out for the hand of God to come upon me in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Let's lift our voices right across this room. Father, we magnify you. Lord God, we bless you. Lord Jesus, we praise and we worship. Give you all the glory, all of the praise, all of the honor. Mighty Spirit of God. Shalaraborunsu. River of God, flow through this place today in the name of Jesus, Lord, right across this auditorium, right to the back row, Lord. Let every believer know the power of God touching their lives. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we believe God, we believe God, we believe God. Your power and your presence pouring out on these lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let's keep praying for these next 3-4 minutes. Folks, while I pray with these guys, let the power of God touch them today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.